excited. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. This is a this is the very first Sunday in the new year. I'm loving it. Wow. And this is great because the Centers for Spiritual Living, that's our international organization of which we are a vital part, has a theme for the year, which is 100 years of science of mind. Is that great? 100 years of science of mind. And there was some question about that as we were discussing it on the ministry's field list, because somebody said, Ernest Holmes' first book, Creative Mind, was published in 2019. I mean, you know what I mean. And so that it'd be not quite 100 years. Here's what I found out. It's really good to be a part of this field list with all the ministers who are so wise. And that is that the book was published in 2019. 19. What am I trying to say here? There you go. That's it. It was the 20th century. It just seems so 20th century, doesn't it? But that's in 1919, the book came out. However, the book Creative Mind was based on a series of lectures which took place, guess when? 1918. Whew, boy, we got through that one. I couldn't have done it without you. So, 100 years. And interestingly, also in 1918, Fenwick Holmes, who was a congregational minister, he came out from Maine, where all of the Holmes boys, all nine of them, were raised. And Ernest, by the way, was the youngest of them all. They called him the eternal question mark. He always wanted to know why. So Fenwick came out, this congregational minister, and he had a congregational church in the Los Angeles area. But it was 2018 that he then joined, he left the congregational church and joined Ernest with Science of Mind. What did I say now? I did it again. Oh, well, you know, what's in, time is nothing, you know? There is no time or space in the mind of God, and that's what's important. So Ernest said that there is that within us which partakes of the nature of the divine being, and since it partakes of the nature of the divine being, we are divine. What a proclamation. Did you grow up knowing you were divine? Did anyone ever tell you that there's only one life? It's the life of God. It's everywhere present, and it creates everything out of itself, like the Play-Doh. Did anyone ever tell you that you are a co-creator with this infinite mind? Well, we're telling you now. And you are here today because you already know that, or you're getting a sense of it, or you know that there is a power that's greater than you are and right where you are, and you use it every time you think and choose. And so we are reviewing, I'm going to be not a Bible thumper, but a Science of Mind tech book thumper this month, because we're reviewing the first four introductory chapters of the Science of Mind, which has affectionately become known as our textbook, because we use this and often many other texts as well in our classes, which, by the way, are starting this week, and you're going to hear more about that later. But we're starting with, no, I'm not going to stand here and read this to you. You can read it for yourself. But I will bring out some points that he makes. The first chapter, introductory chapter in the Science of Mind, is called The Thing Itself. Interestingly, this is, for centuries, philosophers and theologians have been looking to find what is the basis of it all. what is underneath everything. And Ernest was not the first one to use the term the thing itself. Great philosophers centuries ago have asked, what is the thing itself? It's a term that is not foreign to philosophers. Well, even in 5th century BC, the pre-Socratic philosophers were looking for the basis of all life. And one said, well, it's fire. Another said, it's earth. Another, it's water. Another, it's air. And eventually the atomists, 5th century BC, came along and said, it's all atoms.
Whoa!
But we're always looking to see what's underneath everything. You know, the 20th century writer and philosopher and curious person, William James, wrote the book Varieties of Religious Experience. By the way, he called those of us who were into New Thought at that time, I wasn't here yet, but I was on my way. He called them the mind cure people, as he was studying all different religions and philosophies. Well, William James, one evening, was giving a lecture to a large audience. And a woman came up to him afterwards, some of you know this story because it's a true story, and said, Mr. James, what you said is interesting, but it isn't all true. He says, oh, madam, what is it that you take exception to? She said, underneath this world is a giant turtle. And it holds up the world. That's what's underneath the world. He said, very interesting, madam. And what is it that holds up that turtle? Well, she says, there's a more giant turtle underneath that giant turtle. And the more he questioned her, finally she became irritated with him and said, Mr. James, it's turtles all the way down. We've always been looking to see what's underneath this form. What's the invisible beyond the visible? From whence comes everything? Well, science of mind, says Ernest Holmes, is the study of life and the nature of the laws of thought, the conception that we live in a spiritual universe, that God is in, through, around, and for us. He also said, we look forward to the day when science and religion walk hand in hand, which is why initially he called our teaching religious science. He wanted to see, and we are seeing more and more all the time, aren't we? When we're looking at quantum physics and when we're looking at new thought and its awareness that there's only one life, and that there is an interaction, that our thoughts, our opinions, our feelings, our words all have an impact on something. We know there's one mind, God's mind. Universal mind. It doesn't matter what you call it. There's one mind. It's intelligent. It is creative. And that mind is your mind and my mind to use as well. We individualize it. And so there are two aspects to this mind. See, we're going through the theory here this month. And we're also looking at how we take the theory and applying it in our lives, because that's what it's about, isn't it? There's one mind. Infinite, universal, and there are two aspects to it. There is that aspect of mind which is conscious, which chooses, which makes decisions, which impresses the other portion of that one mind, which is the subconscious mind. So we have objective, subjective, conscious, subconscious. It's not unconscious. It's subconscious because it's very intelligent and very much alive. So what does this mean to us? It means that our conscious mind is some part of God's conscious mind, and that our subconscious mind is some part of the greater subconscious mind. And every time we think, we have the ability to consciously impress the subconscious mind where there is the law of cause and effect, sowing and reaping, and something new takes place. Because we are co-creators, just as one of our new gentlemen said today, we are co-creators with the infinite creative intelligent activity of this universe. Woohoo! You know, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Say with me, I'm a co-creator. I'm a co-creator. And it's true because each of us has access to this universal mind and we use it every time we think. Now, thank goodness, not every thought that comes into our mind becomes a reality. Oh boy. Think of some of the things that run through our minds from time to time. It's when we consciously choose, bring feeling to it, and this is what we call spiritual mind treatment, which we'll talk about later in the month, affirmative prayer, how we utilize our conscious mind to produce something wonderful, something new, something revolutionary even. Remember, we don't do New Year's resolutions, we do what? Revolution. A revolution in consciousness. That's what we're doing here. And so when we focus our attention on a new idea, a heart's desire that's good, and Ernest Holmes said, if you want to find out what it's okay to pray for, those aren't his words, but they're mine. It's my mouth, so this is what we're doing. If you want to check to see, is this a good thing? Should I be praying for this? You just ask, is it for my highest good? Is it for the highest good of all? Is it for the good and will harm no one? Then go for it, he said in his own 20th century words. So when we are clear about what we're ready to bring into our world that's new and revolutionary, we just do that little check. Is this good? Will it harm no one? Will it add life to my life? Will it make the world a better place? By all means, that's when we focus upon that which we wish to bring into being. So religious science, says Ernest Holmes, is the outcome of what has gone before, and we believe the forerunner of what is yet to come. See, we're just a beautiful, powerful, loving chain in a link in a chain of infinite love and wisdom. That's a good feeling. People always wanted to know the basic stuff of life, and we are teaching it now as oneness. One life, one God, one divine presence. From the one come the many. Look around the room for a minute. Look at all the beautiful faces that you see. Are they exactly the same? No. The hair, the skin, the eyes. And when you get to know each other better, the hearts. You know, they're all loving and wonderful, but each one of us is on our own particular spiritual path and journey. And then we get to walk along together. And we get to encourage each other as we move along this divine path. But we're all formed of the one substance. This is God's beautiful flower garden of humanity. We speak different languages. We learn in different ways. We have different expressions and experiences. And how wonderful it is to open our hearts and learn from each other. And to continue to find that unity that is the beginning of the multiplicity. Love it, the oneness. There's a power that makes things directly out of itself. I think the kids began to get the idea this morning with the Play-Doh. You know, everything comes from one divine substance. And we have a part to play in creating a world that works for all. Because that is continuing to be a major vision for us all, a world that works for all. Now, Ernest says in this first chapter, we see abundance in the universe, and he's wondering why we're not all experiencing it yet. The divine plan is one of freedom. And he wonders, why are we sometimes feeling restricted or limited? There's plenty. What has to change? Not the universe. The universe is just fine. It's perfect. It works on a beautiful system. What you and I get to do is to understand how that works. You know, there are great laws in this universe. There's gravity. If I drop something, it's not that I didn't pay my gravity bill. That's just the way it works. There are laws of physics. There are laws of aerodynamics. There are laws that we can utilize for our great good, for our personal lives and for the greater world itself, by understanding them and implementing them in a way that we can have airplanes and we can have ships that couldn't possibly stay on top of the water. They're way too heavy. I am so grateful that there are people who study these things and know then how to bring about the great good that benefits humankind. Then everything is a law that's invisible. All laws are invisible, and the law of mind is invisible as well. And yet, we implement it every time we set it into motion. And we set it into motion. We are empowered to do that. This freedom that Ernest Holmes speaks about is the divine birthright of every living soul. Your divine birthright and the divine birthright of every living soul. And he says the great love of the universe must be one with the great law of its own being. Therefore, this teaching is one of love and law. Now, I'm going to call those two pillars over there, Jachin and Boaz. Jachin and Boaz, they will forever be known as Jachin and Boaz, because Jachin and Boaz were the two pillars of the temple, and you had to go through the pillars to get in the temple, and they are love and law. Jachin and Boaz, love and law. We walk together with this understanding that there is a divine presence which is nurturing, healing, loving, very present right where we are all the time. And this marvelous, immutable, dependable, accurate law which responds to us according to our belief. It is done unto us according to our belief. Not our wish and our whim and our hope, but our belief, which is why it's so wonderful to realize that there are two aspects of this one mind, same as the individualization of our conscious and subconscious minds, and that in the subconscious mind, we have patterns. We've developed patterns over our lives here. So we use our conscious mind to transform the subconscious mind. Now, the subconscious mind is powerful. The conscious mind is the smaller part of it, like an iceberg, there's a little tip. And yet, I like to use the analogy of a car. The steering wheel, we don't use will power, but we use the will to choose, consciously choose the direction we wish to go. New York City, Norristown. Phoenixville, wherever you want to go, you set the intention. That's the steering wheel. It's the small part of the car. Underneath is this powerful engine, and we could equate that to the subconscious aspect of mind, because it's intelligent and it's powerful, and it will follow the direction that you choose. That's so important for us to realize. Well, my subconscious mind is full of all these false beliefs and limiting patterns. Do you want to argue for your limitations? How many of you have heard that who've taken class with me? Sure, we all have our internal work to do, and isn't it wonderful that we have the ability to do it, that we have the power within us, the willingness to make those changes. So we utilize the conscious mind to make new choices. That's what this philosophy is all about. The love is constant. The law is dependable. And you'll hear this from me again and again, and many of you have heard it already. Ernest was so beautifully wise when he said, court the presence and direct the law. Right? Court the presence and direct the law. When we are in that consciousness of absolute love and possibility, we then speak our word. We do our affirmative prayer. We do our work, and changes take place. And the transformation is beautiful. And we have more and more opportunities to come on up here and tell us about the beautiful demonstrations that have occurred in our lives. So he says, this is the simple meaning of true metaphysical teaching, the study of life and the nature of law, governed and directed by thought, always conscious that we live in a spiritual universe, that God is in, through, around, and for us. That's a very important part of this. And for us. The universe is for us. We are constantly being supported, guided, inspired, and motivated once we stop this chatter of what seems to be going on in the world that we're not happy about and just come back to the place of origins, where we can create something anew, because we are co-creators with this wonderful presence and law. So all thought is potentially creative. And I've said earlier, aren't we glad that not every little whim comes about? We want to engage in clear focus and decide what we wish to bring. We individualize this one universal law. Ernest said, there is a power in this universe that honors our faith in it. There is a law in the universe which exacts the utmost farthing. This power is good. It's creative. It's intelligent. And the best news is, it's ours to use. So we learn to trust this universe, and we learn to delight in our important part in it. From the universal creative intelligence, we become co-creators. Ernest says, there is that within each individual which partakes of the nature of the universal wholeness, and insofar as it operates, is God. We can use the word Emmanuel, God in us, with us. Christ, the Christos, that light that is universal, that we all share. It doesn't matter the name we call it. It partakes of the nature of the divine being. Therefore, we are divine. Isn't it good to know that we are divine human beings? So the simplicity of the thing itself, it's the power back of creation. Oh, that was my topic today, wasn't it? The power back of creation. So say with me, there's one life. That life is God's life.
That life is
perfect.
That life is my life now.
And so you can tune in each week. We'll have a new chapter. You may read ahead if you wish, but it's not required. And that, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you, and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas, and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit, and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.